Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Formidable Opponents, a show that pits three people who have known each other virtually their entire lives in a series of conversations as we argue what is best in a variety of fun, engaging, and critical topics we all debate about. I'm Randall, and alongside me always, Bob and Joseph. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. We got a great topic today. Today, we're talking about funniest movie scene. And before we talk about the funniest movie scene, guys, I guess I'll tote the rock on this one. A lot of the comedies we grew up watching didn't necessarily age well for today's audience, I guess you could say.
To say the least.
Part of the inspiration of this was I had a couple of days off last week. I took my second vaccination, so I knew I was going to miss a couple of days of work. And I thank you. I stayed home and I watched a couple of comedies. I watched Revenge of the Nerds. I watched 16 Candles. I was thinking to myself the whole time, this would not work in today's world. This could not come across. People, cancel culture would ravage it. And what are your thoughts, guys, about comedy in the past not maybe holding up today? I don't want to sound apologetic because we grew up on this. We, of course, learned from this. And we, of course, want to acknowledge, you know, we grew up on these comedies and a lot of these comedies cannot be made today. I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that before we kick this off.
I honestly think that, you know, comedy is comedy and those movies, yeah, they might not hold up today in today's society, but they still hold up for me. I think they're still hilarious. They're just as funny as when I watched them in the 80s or in the 90s, you know, even watch some of the old ones, like you mentioned. I think that comedy should be taken as what it is. It's comedy. It's supposed to make you laugh. For those people that may get offended by certain things, you know, I could see how like some of those, they kind of tote that fine line of being a little overboard, but you know, sometimes that's comedy. And I think if you just take it at face value, if you take it as something fun and enjoyable and, you know, sit down and laugh and have a good time watching a movie, I think that's the point. I guess you could say that's the point of a comedy movie. Yeah, in today's climate, definitely wouldn't work. A lot of them wouldn't work, but those movies still, I mean, they get me all the time. They still make me laugh. They still crack me up.
I agree. I think today some of the two that you mentioned right now, I mean, if anybody were to do anything like that today, like you said, it wouldn't fly. If somebody tried to do a reboot or a remake, it would be very different. Okay. As far as comedy goes, I mean, really, you know, elaborate on Bob's. I can't say, and for me personally, like I think I have in comedy today, if you're not willing to make fun of yourself and you're not willing to laugh at yourself, then I think as long as your heart's in the right place, you know, people need to laugh and hopefully it's not, you know, anything too serious. You know, if the jokes today, as far as comedy movies are, to put somebody down, well, then obviously we have, there's a problem. But, if it's to, you know, make you laugh and just, you know, laugh at yourself, one, make fun of yourself, don't, and give somebody, like you said, a little bit of laughter or a break, then that's good. But it is fine line nowadays. And like you mentioned, a lot of the movies were a little bit older, so we're not going to go see too many new teen comedies nowadays. Right. So we got to look back to the past and what we grew up on. And a lot of these movies, like you said, they may or may not be able to work out today.
I was thinking a lot about like the Porky's and the sex mm-hmm. romp and how they were very like,
it has a little mole.
They were very like hetero white male looking to lose his virginity. They were all driven that way. And if you watch a lot of the screwball comedies, especially the ones that you rented on VHS or watched on HBO, the plots were very similar and the situations were very just off the wall, funny one-liners, ridiculous setups, ridiculous situations. But that's what we grew up on and that's what we found funny. And I want to see if this is a fair comparison. I was running this morning and you guys know I have the old guy soundtrack to my jogging list. And one of the songs that came on was Outfield, Your Love, and everybody loves that song. You play it in a stadium, the stadium goes bonkers. They'll start singing along with it at a club. You'll sing along. And so I'm listening to the lyrics of this song. I must have listened to the song thousands of times. I've probably never really paid attention. And it starts off right off the bat. The song's about infidelity. It's about objectification. And the champion verb is use. I want to use your love. I want to, like, you know, my girlfriend's out of town or whatever. And we listen to this song and nobody says, wow, that song hasn't aged well, or that song is about objectification and infidelity and sexual nature. But we still love that song. We listen to that song. You could play it now at a stadium full of people of from any age and nobody would be offended by it. Why do we treat comedies different? If we could watch something that was created in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. Why can't we still appreciate it for what it is? But now everybody's really like, well, you can't show that, or you can't play that, or you can't recreate that. And is it problematic? I don't know. I think we have to have an understanding and an awareness of groups all around us. It's just a great social responsibility. But also just the comedies we grew up on, I think we should be unabashed, because that's the stuff we learned from. That's the stuff we were exposed to, and that's the stuff we grew up on. And I just wanted to say that as an explainer and sort of as an opener to say, you know, we know a lot of these comedies can't be made anymore, but you can't keep us from enjoying them because that's what we grew up on.
To add to your point, you know, a lot of these comedies have these scenes or these phrases that, you know, and you laugh and laugh and laugh. But also at the same time, you know, it's wrong. But I mean, it's funny, but you know, it's wrong. I mean, you can't just, I mean, God, like fucking a pie in a countertop. You know what I mean? Could that work nowadays? Probably. I don't know. But
are you talking about a movie? Oh, okay.
It might work now more.
Like what Joseph said, as long as your heart's in the right place and you take a comedy movie for what it is, face value, it's supposed to make you laugh. It's supposed to be funny. We're not trying to make any political statements. It's all good fun, or at least it should be.
Now you can't do, you can't write movies about a guy fucking a pie on the count. It probably, there has to be like a cake and ice cream next to it, just because, I don't know. But it's very different nowadays. And I was talking to my wife earlier about, I wanted to ask her this question before we started this podcast. What are some good recent comedies that you've seen? Because I was trying to go over the mental Rolodex of what are some of the movies that we haven't seen that are good comedies. When we went over through the internet, we haven't watched Eurovision. We haven't watched the latest Borat movie. Haven't seen King of Staten Island. I'm just throwing out names of big comedies over the past year. I don't want to watch Coming to America, the sequel. I'm just afraid to watch that because I adored the first Coming to America. I'm afraid this is just going to ruin the franchise. Haven't seen Like a Boss. The last movie I think we said, which was a decent comedy, it wasn't great, was Always Be My Maybe, which was pretty funny because Keanu Reeves was really funny in that movie. And I recently saw Bad Trip, which was more of a hidden camera movie. Tiffany Haddish was in it. What about you guys? Any recent comedies?
I mean, I'm sorry, but I did see Coming to America too. America. You know what, man? Honestly, if you're looking for a... Well, I mean, it being that it's rated PG-13, you already know, or going into it, I already knew this isn't going to be what the first one was. One, it's been years, and two, that in itself, just getting a PG-13 from the original R rating of the first one, you know, this is going to be a lot more tamed. With that being said, I don't want to ruin it for anybody else. I don't want to ruin it for you, just in case you did want to see it. But honestly, I know you have two young kids, so yeah. I can't say they can watch it. But if you had maybe like a 10-year-old or a 11-year-old, you know what? You'd probably be fine watching it with them. And I'll just leave it at that. Like it gave me more of a kind of like a family comedy vibe. Uh-huh. And I mean, it had its moments, but
it was more like The Nutty Professor.
Nutty Professor might have had a little bit more even back then. Wasn't Nutty Professor like a PG-13 movie? I think it was.
I think so.
But it had more. It was made back then, so it had more. Maybe a little bit. More language jokes were a little bit, hey, if you got it, you didn't, you got it. If you didn't, oh, well, that whole thing doesn't happen in this one. And
I'm afraid to watch it.
It's honestly basically what we just mentioned. It's a different time. It's a different, I mean, the story is what it is, but you know, you can tell it's a different time.
I couldn't think of, I know you had mentioned it to me before we started about what's the last funny movie you'd seen, any recent ones, and man, Hot Tub Time Machine, Bridesmaids, maybe. I mean,
God, that's going back too.
That's what I'm saying. Granted, I've had two kids since then, right? So the movie scene, we weren't really going to the movies every damn weekend, but I really can't think of any that were just like, oh my God, that was in a hilarious movie. It's one of the recent ones. You got to watch it. You got to see it. But I can't say that any of the newer brands or newer, I couldn't talk about it. I
told my wife, she's like, well, Ted Lasso is funny. I was like, movies, that's a show. And she's like, that's how mentally empty we are. When it comes to comedies, it's like we're searching for something that we watch together that's funny, and we couldn't think of anything. And to me, I think the state of comedy nowadays is just not like what it was. I mean, we talked about the 80s and the screwball comedy movies that dominated the 90s were more off the wall, sort of crazy, free for all sort of comedies. And then there was a period from like the late 90s to the mid 2000s where Judd Apatow and all those guys were doing these great movies, whether they were stoner movies or comedies about real people going through crazy situations. You know, when American Pie, as you mentioned, Bob, when that came back and that sort of gave a revamp to the screwball comedy, everything's just sort of dissipated after that. And I don't think there's any comedy genre right now that we focus on and say like, oh yeah, you know what? That's dominating the scene right now. That's a constant. They're talking about real people, real things. And comedy has sort of been sort of entrenched with like action movies now or Marvel comic movies. They're more comical than some of the stuff I've seen recently. And it's just, I don't know. It's just a sad state right now.
It's actually true. I actually really love, I was trying to think of what I've seen, and it's been maybe just like action movies and, you know, the Avengers series stuff or anything DC. But it's a good example of what you just said is I just watched Ant-Man and the Wasp again, part two. Ant-Man and the Wasp, not part two, but Ant-Man, you know what I mean? Anyway,
yes.
but I love those. I actually really love those movies because it's kind of like you just said, it's the action of a comic book hero movie, but it's Paul Rudd being funny. And so that's the closest to a real like comedy movie that I've seen lately or most recently that I can think of, but it's an action movie. We're going to go back to the action comedy thing with Bob and Arnold Schwarzenegger and whatnot.
Yeah. I guess long gone are the days of Mel Brooks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mel Brooks, guys like Chevy Chase, Peter Sellers, and somebody that I just got reminded of, Robin Williams. I mean, that guy could make anything funny and he was just so off the cuff. I enjoyed Robin Williams as an actor more so than I did a stand-up comic. And he was brilliant at both. And I've noticed like, I was like, man, I'll watch a movie and like this could really use like the Robin Williams treatment or peak Chevy Chase or Mel Brooks. I think the only comedy that sort of gets by and skates by that's a little risky and still relevant and funny is Larry David's comedy, but he does TV. He doesn't do movies. Mm-hmm. And it's just something sorely missed right now. And hopefully it comes back. I would like to see a great comedy again once the theaters open up.
I actually think the most, if I can real quick, was the new Bill and Ted. And it was great for nostalgia. And I mean, I there was moments where I was like, that was funny. But other than that, you know, I was like different.
No,
those two movies came out in the, you know, the 80s. So that it was a different time. They weren't like the most vulgar of comedy movies, but it's different, you know. We've already established that.
So let's reflect back to a funnier time. Let's talk a little bit about our honorable mentions. Bob, we'll start with you. What are some of the movie scenes that were hilarious that didn't make your finals, but you want to mention them?
I mean, I'll go back to Mel Brooks and any Mel Brooks movie from start to finish. You're going to laugh. There's a lot of one hit liners and funny jokes and, you know, the stupid jokes, the really subtle, smart jokes. I loved Spaceballs, you know, coming to the desert. Have you found anything yet? And, you know, the guys with the Afro pick, we ain't found shit. I fucking love that scene. Young Frankenstein, which I was watching the other day. Like I said, we go towards the oldie movies to get a good laugh. We're watching Young Frankenstein outside, me and the wife. And I love that. Give him the, and he's like doing the charade. Set a give. He gets all pissed off. I fucking love that. You know, Mel Brooks was really the king of those little one-liners, subtle, smart jokes. The Three Amigos where they're chugging the water, or Chevy Chase chugging the water. Lip balm? Martin Short's chugging. Pours out sand or dirt or whatever, and they're thirsty. Police Academy, the Blue Oyster Club scenes, those always made me laugh. Sorry. I still to this day, I mean, I can't stop laughing. And it was a reoccurring joke in each Police Academy movie. I loved it. Those scenes were always so comical and so funny, man.
My favorite one from the, you know, because it was a reoccurring joke, right? The Blue Oyster Bar. And every time somebody got dipped and everybody would like break out in a round of applause.
Yes, dude. And it was like this big, tough biker bar, and they were dancing and they dipped the other guy. And I thought that was hilarious. Two others that I really want to mention really quickly. Old School, the tranquilizer scene. This is one I almost chose to. You know, you got a fucking dart in your neck. I love that scene. Anybody who's ever had a drunk uncle at a birthday party, you know that scene is so relatable. I think we can all relate to that. One of the ones that's probably super underrated, that if you saw Horrible Bosses, there's a scene in Horrible Bosses where Charlie Day and the group are breaking into one of the boss's houses, and they they drop cocaine or drugs or something. And Charlie Day is like the lookout guy in the car and he's singing, "That's not my name." And he's clapping and he's all fucked up. "They call me Stacy." And he's leaning back in the seat. It's fucking funny. If you haven't seen that scene, super underrated scene. Really, really, really funny. If you notice, none of these are probably any movies that happened in the last five, you know, 10 years. Old
classics, yeah. What about you, Joseph? What are some of your honorable mentions?
Well, I'll go to one that, I mean, even, but even then, it's all the scene in Bridesmaids, the whole food poisoning scene with the girls. I mean, it's hilarious. Melissa McCarthy does a hell of a job in that movie. Another one that always made me laugh, and it's not the best movie, but the naked fight in the original Borat. I haven't seen the new one, but the original one. I mean, to do that and the unsuspecting actual, you know, people in that movie, that was crazy. I couldn't stop laughing at that, and more mainly at the reactions of the people around him, like probably like, "What the fuck is going on here? These two guys running around naked fighting." Again, I think Bob mentioned pretty much any Mel Brooks movie, the Spaceballs, where they're, or the Jam, or when they're watching themselves, watching Spaceballs, the movie. This is what's happening right now. I mean, there's a bunch of great ones.
Excellent selections. I got a few of my own. And Bob, we talked about this one earlier, the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where they ended up sleeping in the same hotel room. And it's Steve Martin and John Candy, who's really missed. And John Candy is like, I guess you could say he's spooning them. And he's asking, Steve Martin says, "Where's your hands?" "Between two pillows." And those aren't pillows. And they're getting up and like, "How about the Cubs?" And, you know, Barry.
"How about the Bears? The Bears, the Bears are great. Chicago Bears, yeah."
Those aren't pillows. Another one I liked was Animal House, when they took Stephen first. I can't remember. I flounder. They took him to go shoot the horse, but they put blanks in the gun because that was his initiation to the fraternity. And they're telling him, "You put blanks in the guns, right?" "Oh, yeah, of course." And so he's going to shoot the horse, but he shoots. He shoots straight up in the air because I don't have the heart to shoot the horse, but the horse has a heart attack. John Belushi and the other guy, D-Day, like, they freak out and they all start running away.
That's a great scene. I hadn't thought of that scene in a long time. That's
then the follow-up scene is that they're measuring the horse when the D's having a meeting. So I thought that was hilarious. I did like Bridesmaid too as well. I thought the best scene in Bridesmaids was a toast, just when they were going back and forth in the toast. I really enjoyed that one. That whole wedding, I guess engagement party scene is just classic. I like the newscasters brawl in Anchorman. I thought that was funny. Yeah. They just brought in all the heavyweights on that one.
Brick,
that
where did you find the handgun? Place. I love it. Where did you find a handgun? I don't know.
Hand grenade.
Excuse me.
I liked Neil Patrick Harris's first scene in Harold and Kumar because we hadn't heard of Neil Patrick. We hadn't seen Neil Patrick Harris since the Doogie Howser days, and that pretty much rejuvenated his career. He went on to have a great career. I mean, a better career after that. He's done stage. He's done television.
How I Met Your Mother is Martin.
You know what? That's really. You know, when you actually watch that scene and you think, you look at that, and obviously it's the drugs that are the influence of how he is, but that's like the early signs of the character of Barney, the early of Barney Stinson. You know, this womanizing, you're right, like that was the basis, I guess, if you want to look at it. That
a little trivia, they actually offered that role to Ralph Macchio and they wanted to play off the Karate Kid stuff, and he declined it. He was okay after that, right? He's still working, right? But I would have loved to have seen Ralph Macchio try to pull that off.
He did a little Funny or Die thing like 6 or 7 years ago that was really funny.
Yeah, that was a good, I remember really that one.
And he played like the drugged up drinker at a club or some shit like that. So I think he got his moment back.
Yeah. You mentioned the Blue Oyster Salad bar scene, or the Blue Oyster scene in the Police Academy. There you go. Right on cue. Frank the Tank getting drugged at Old School.
Oh, yeah.
Going streaking. I mean, that whole thing was just incredibly funny. Blazing Saddles, the Dom DeLuise scene. For those of you, Blazing Saddles is pretty old, so caution to anybody who's gonna watch it based on our recommendation. Yeah, it's very much of its time in the 1970s. And there's a scene where Dom DeLuise is teaching a dance troupe how to dance, And it's very funny, and more so because Dom DeLuise is doing the dance and he's very angry and everything. But great scene there. Tropic Thunder, anything Tom Cruise and Robert Downey Jr. do in that movie, or anybody in that movie. Ben Stiller has some great moments, too. I couldn't pick one, but I mean, those were my honorable mentions. But let's get to our selections. Bob, we're starting with you. Tell us your funniest movie scene selection and why you picked.
There was a lot to choose from. As y'all know, I spent a lot of the week just thinking and watching old clips and old movies, and I really wanted to go with something from Mel Brooks, but I wanted to shy away from it because I felt like I couldn't pick one over the other in any of the Mel Brooks movies. But there was one in particular from this movie, and I want to set up the scenario for you. You know, we've all had our share of those embarrassing moments in front of either our significant other or their family members, you know, but getting your junk caught in your zipper on prom night at your date's house, that's probably got to be the most fucked up situation ever. So I went with the zipper scene, and there's something about Mary. This is a scene that I actually hadn't thought of the movie or seen it. I really saw that movie religiously a lot when it came out in 98. It was one of my favorite ones. I think it was Ben Stiller's really big coming out party, like his first really big movie where he became that leading comedian star, right? It's just, I watching it again, and I was going through scenes and I saw this one and I was dead on the floor laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. I watched it over and over again, and it was just laugh after laugh and had me in tears. So the big punchline is Stiller's in the restroom, to use the restroom, and he zips up his pants and he gets his junk, his twig and berries caught up in the zipper in his dates he's in his date's house. So in his date's restroom. So the embarrassment builds and builds, and it gets worse as his date's father and mother step into the restroom to see what the commotion is about. And of course, even better, the dad is played by Keith David.
He's awesome.
From one of he's in one of my all time favorite movies, Dead Presidents. I mean, he's crazy. He's funny. And my first TV crush, who's amazingly beautiful and amazingly funny. Yeah. And Marky, who is also in Night Court, which I used to watch as a kid. You know, it probably wasn't a kid-friendly TV show, but I thought it was hilarious. It's crazy funny from Keith David coming in, the dad, like, what the hell's going on? You know, dumbfounded reaction and freaking out and kind of like smiling to himself, like, how the hell did he get the zipper up to Marky Post, you know, spraying the Bactine on his area, of course.
She's a dental hygienist. She'll
know what to do. Yeah, exactly. To of course, his date's Mary's brother screaming, Frank and Beans outside the...
Frank Beans!
Yeah.
Frank and Beans!
I mean, like, it really hits in a lot of different areas, and it makes it seem classic. It, even more hilarious was when the police officer pokes his head through the bathroom restroom, and he's like, what the hell's all the commotion? You know, I heard a woman screaming. It's just a funny scene, man. And then of course, after him, a fireman walks in and is making fun of him, gives him his predicament. I mean, it had a lot of like old school type of comedy. The writing in it is spectacular, and then it hit on, of course, on those two big quotes. I think any great movie scene, or one of the best movie scene, has to be quotable. And of course, it had the Frank and Beans, like we just said right now. Then it has a line that we still use today. We got a bleeder. We still use that in coaching today. Anybody who gets scratched or any little thing, we use that. I think it's hilarious. Made me laugh so damn much every single time I saw it. It's unforgettable. It's relatable. Like I said, we've all had those embarrassing moments. I'm sure you all have embarrassed yourself. I probably embarrassed myself way too much. I won't mention anything online on our podcast, but it just had a little bit of everything. It had that embarrassing moment. It had the funny character, it had something for everybody, I could say. And it's one of my all-time favorite scenes. Now, Something About Mary is not one of my all-time top favorite comedy movies. Maybe it's in my top 10, maybe not. But we're focusing in here on a scene, on the best comedy scene. And I think this one just hits different. There's not one person that can watch it and not laugh and not crack a smile and not, you know, shed a tear and laughter, because it's just so funny. And I know there's a ton of crazy, awesome, funny movie scenes out there. I mean, we listed some at the beginning, and there's a ton more that we left out. That's my choice. You know, it might not be fucking hit the nail on the head on this
one. I think the setup to everything was great. Right when he walks in and he's like, you can't be Mary's dad. He's kind of like looking at the address. And then of course, like anybody wants to do, we all know when we first meet our significant other's parents, we want to impress them. So I always crack up when he busts out the baseball and like, hey, Warren, has anybody seen your baseball? And like, you know, he starts attacking him because he
hit him in the throat or something.
Yeah. And then when he has Ben Stiller up, like Ben Stiller's like giving him like karate chops to the face, like put me down. I mean, that whole setup is hilarious. Now, going to the bathroom scene, I mean, and I know the point of this show is to argue. It's very difficult to argue this scene. We're laughing all through it. It's like, yeah, that scene sucks. So we can't say that, right? Because it's a brilliant scene. I loved how the father, Keith David, is like, how the hell did you get to be above the frame? And he's getting mad at him. He has like no empathy. He's like, what the hell did you do? Like, nobody's like, are you okay? Or what's going on? It's like, how the fuck did you get your stuff caught up like that?
What is it that we're looking at?
He's like, what do you mean?
Is it the Frank or the beans?
I think it's both.
I love how the cop comes in, the cop and the fireman, they're just both played brilliantly. I don't know the actors' names, but they just come in and it just gets funnier. And I remember watching this in the theater and you couldn't hear the dialogue because people were just laughing because it was so intensely funny. And then the cop rolls up his sleeve. He rolls it up twice if you pay attention. And then he just, you know, he unzips and that's when they cut to the gurney. He actually falls. It wasn't written in the script when they're putting them into the ambulance. The gurney falls down. That wasn't in the script. So that even made it extra funny. I don't know what to say. I only have two negative things to say about this scene as it not being the funniest. And they're both very weak arguments. When I saw this movie, you guys remember the character Tucker, how he was faking that he was using crutches or something. He was. When that scene where he's picking up his keys, I was sitting next to a guy who had the very same condition. And I couldn't laugh because I was like, if I laugh at this guy trying to pick up the keys, this guy over here is going to be like, hey, what the hell? But he was laughing his ass off and he gives me an elbow and he's like, hey man, it's okay. It's funny. And I was like, oh, thank you, man. Cause I was like, turning face. I didn't want to offend you, you know? So
that's crazy.
I always remember that movie for out of the irony or out of the slim possibilities of sitting next to a guy who had a Tucker same condition. And I would say we all as males, I don't care who you are, we've had close calls with zippers at one point in our lives. It's not funny, you know, whether you're taking a quick piss or you're zipping up because you're in a hurry. Once that thing hits like right on impact, it's like, oh crap, you're like, you know, you're scarred for the rest of the day. So the fact that you pull that thing all the way up and then the birds fly off the trees when you scream, I mean, that was intense. I do think this movie is full of great scenes. Of course, everybody knows something about the best known scene is probably the hair gel scene. I do have to agree though that this is the funniest scene in the movie. I don't think it's as my only argument is I don't think it's as funny as a scene I chose, but it's hard to argue this scene because you could show this to anybody who's never watched this movie. They're going to laugh. And so I have to tip my cap to you, Bob, because this is a scene that is very difficult to argue. Joseph, I don't know if you have a better argument. Pain is my argument and that's it.
What's funny, I don't think you mentioned, Bob, how that scene actually gets started. They think that he's masturbating. Yes. And so he's just really taking a piss and he's admiring Mary and they think he's masturbating. That's sets up the whole thing. He panics and try, and by all means, like Randy said, you know, always just, at least for guys, just, I mean, I know you just, careful, we gotta be zipper. Just be careful. Yeah. Anyway, just be careful. Great scene. I love pretty much every movie that the Farrelly brothers have ever done, whether it was Stuck on You. Love that movie too. It probably is probably the funniest scene. It definitely sets the tone of the movie. I really like the 7-minute ab scene though. I know it's just dialogue. Yes. It's not a lot of like physical comedy, but the speech, the 7-minute ab scene is also very funny. No! No,
not six, not seven. Six,
seven.
Step in him office. You're fucking fired.
What about what about Matt Dillon when he's saying all the wrong things and he's playing football with Warren and his friends and he's like stiff arming them?
I mean, it could definitely be the funniest scene of that movie. That's such a great movie. There's so many funny scenes, like Randy said, the Harold Just scene. So really, I guess that's my biggest argument is that I, you know, the 7-minute, there's a lot of good scenes, 7-minute abs, a lot that we talked about, but it is great scene, man. It's hard to pick.
I think it's such a well-rounded scene I mean, it's got shock value, you know, showing the nuts and
yeah, I didn't expect to see that.
Yeah, you don't expect to see that. So it's got shock value.
You're laughing at it, and then you're like, oh, what the fuck?
It's got those little subtle, smart jokes like, oh, she's a dental hygienist. She'll know what to do. You know what I mean? It's quotable, of course, like we said, the Frank of Beans and the We Got a Bleeder.
He was masturbating.
The timing and the relatability and just the writing, like everything about it, you know, some scenes are just straight up shock value. Some scenes are very subtle and smart. Some scenes, you know, it's just a good quick movie hit line. You know what I mean? A movie line, right? A quick quote. Some of them are just smart and they have good timing. This one had a little bit of everything. So it has something for everyone. And I think that it hit perfectly. I think it hit perfectly. And it's my favorite scene in it. And that's one thing that I feel is important, that it stands as the funniest scene in that movie. And it kickstarts it, but it stands as the funniest scene. And yes, the seven minute ab scene was really funny as well. But I think this scene stood above them all.
Dog attacking scene too, where he has to make sure that he didn't kill the dog. But that's another great scene. I won't go too far into that one, but go ahead, Joseph, wrap it up.
No, but before we get into your selection, I want to just say that I'm really looking forward to what you got to say, because man, it just seems like you have a personal connection to a lot of scenes or moments in life that we've talked about, whether it was, you know, the Randy Savage last week.
I was waiting to hear if he was gonna say a bad date thing or
your breakup with Hey Ya and now this one, you know, you didn't want to laugh at the scene, but the guy told you I was next, so I'm curious, you know, what does this scene mean to you? Your scene, please go ahead.
So I chose the Naked Gun, the baseball scene in the Naked Gun. And I do have a story about the Naked Gun. So it's very similar to Bob's story last week, where for those of you who didn't listen, you should listen to last week's episode, because it was great. But Bob talked about getting tickets at 11 years old to a wrestling event and thinking that, okay, you know, got all these tickets and my dad's going to be with us and my uncles, but they let all the kids to the wrestling event with grandpa, and then everybody went to go party at South Padre Island. So my story is kind of similar. Naked Gun came out when I was 11 years old. I was in sixth grade, and me and three of my closest friends were going to watch it. My brother was too young at the time. I mean, he could purchase a ticket because it was PG-13, but he couldn't drive. So I asked one of our cousins, who he'll remain nameless. We asked him, could you drive us to see the Naked Gun? And could you be there with us and everything? He's like, yeah, I'll go watch. Yeah, badass. It sounds like a badass title and everything. And he didn't know anything about the movie. And my cousin is a pretty vulgar guy. That's why I won't say his name. So we're driving, and he's got, just to set the scene, he's got, you know, three of us there, or four of us actually. We're sixth graders. He's about 17 or 18 years old. We're in his car, and he's blasting Guns N' Roses. I remember every time we would talk, he'd tell us to shut the fuck up because he wanted to listen to the guitar solo of Sweet Child of Mine. So we were just like stoic. And I was in the front seat. I would turn around and tell my friends, hey, don't talk during Guns N' Roses because this guy is really intense. And so so he tells us, he's like, hey, tell us about this movie. It sounds badass. I'm not going to use the vulgar words he said, but he asked if there was going to be nudity. I said, no, it's PG-13. He's like, well, the name of the movie has naked in the title. And I said, yes, but it's not that kind of movie. It's like a comedy spoof and whatever. So he kind of looks at me. He says, so there's not going to be, you know, this and that. I was like, no, there's not going to be any of that. So we all get out of the car. He buys us the tickets. And then he says, call me when you're done. And I'm like, really? You're just going to like leave us hanging like that? He's like, yeah. It's just like, yeah, I don't want to watch this movie. I don't want to watch stupid comedy. I thought it was like, I guess he thought it was a dirty movie, to pretty sure. I was like, my parents would not let me watch that at age 11. So I don't know what gave you the idea. So that's my
should have told him to go see your dad's Betamax.
Yeah, that would have been longer than this movie. So everybody in this scene, I chose the baseball scene. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, I'll go over it as I you know, talk a little bit about the character. So Naked Gun, everybody in the scene plays a prominent role, and they were all not initially comedic actors. That's why I think that makes it so brilliant. You look at Leslie Nielsen, Ricardo Montalban, Priscilla Presley, George Kennedy, and even Reggie Jackson. They're not comedic actors, and they play a big role in the scene. Now, I'll give you the background. The background is Ricardo Montalban's character has implanted some sort of hypnotic device on a baseball player to kill the queen in the seventh inning stretch of a baseball game. In order to search the players, Frank Drebin, who's played by Leslie Nielsen, has to infiltrate the stadium. And at first he comes in, and the way they set it up is funny, because the queen, like, why would the queen go watch a baseball game, right? And she's going to her box seats, and these two bums who are like drinking beer and eating hot dogs are sitting in this front row seat. They're like, hey, get the hell out of here. This is the queen's seat. And so the first thing Leslie Nielsen does, or Frank Drebin, his character, he knocks out the singer, Enrico Palazzo, who's the opera singer.
Enrico Palazzo
is going to sing the national anthem. So he goes out and he butchers the national anthem, kind of like Fergie did at the NBA All-Star game a few years back. And while the real Enrico Palazzo is tied up and terrified that his name is being flashed on the screen, like he's in his boxers and his white undershirt, and he's tied up like hogtied, and he's looking at the screen like, oh my God, this guy is killing my name. He needs to get on the field to search the players. He knocks out an umpire and steals his gear. Leslie Nielsen has to find out, Frank Drebin, I should say, has to find out who the potential murderer is. So he's patting down all the players. So he's an umpire. He knows nothing about umpiring a baseball game. And the first guy comes up to bat and he's like patting him down. You could use a large, crotch is a little tight. And he's patting, he's checking the uniforms. he's making sure he's patting down the catcher. He gets hit with a bat. The hilarity starts when, you know, the pitcher throws a strike and he doesn't know what to call. And he's quiet. And he's like, strike. And then the crowd goes crazy. And he's like, oh man, you know, they reacted to me calling a strike. So the pitcher throws a second strike and Leslie Nielsen's like, strike two. And he's walking around dancing. And then before the ball crosses the plate, he yells strike three. And he's doing like a moonwalk and he does a spin. And he's like, you know, really soaking it in. And I mean, an umpire should be doing this shit to the Houston Astros nowadays, but he was doing it back then. And hey. And so what happens is that a montage, which is very popular in the 80s, kicks in. It's I Love LA. And then his partner's in the stands. There's one scene where his partner like chugs a beer, eats a cake, eats a popsicle, eats a grape. Reggie Jackson is the guy that got hypnotized and he's about to kill the queen. He pulls out his gun. And so Frank tackles Reggie Jackson and a brawl ensues. Everybody's throwing fists. Everybody's going crazy. And Frank somehow fires a wrist device and he misses and he hits a fan. And she falls on Reggie Jackson and the crowd goes crazy. Francis and Chubby from Teen Wolf and from Pee-wee's Big Adventure points out that it was Enrico Palazzo. But I just felt this scene was so funny. I'm trying to go through it as fast as I can because there's so many components to it. I don't think my description did it justice. I think you have to watch it because during the montage, so many crazy things are happening. It's so screwball, goofball comedy. It's from the Zucker Brothers, and they just knew how to write comedy. They wrote Airplane, and they did all these great comedies with Leslie Nielsen. But it's such a screwball comedy, such a ridiculous situation. So many screw-ups. Like, it's just the absurdity of it. And it's music, it's sports, it's murder, it's you know, action, it's police. They ended up bringing all these things together, you know, just this pastiche of all these like great movie tropes, putting it into the scene and just making it absolutely hilarious. And I loved it. And it's one of my all-time favorite comedies. I have a great memory tied to it because I got to watch it with three of my best friends. And I mean, what do you guys think about the scene?
I thought it was a really funny scene. I watched it recently again. It's like you said, it was the type of comedy that it is. I guess that screwball comedy. I mean, yes, I still laughed about it to this day. I rewatched it. Thought it was funny. I think Leslie Nielsen, hilarious. And what she said about it, like everything was so subtle. He wasn't like making outland. I mean, yes, in the scene where he's doing the strike and strike, dude. And before before the third one gets there, he's already saying strike three. And yeah, so I knew coming into this one. I said it with the first one. I mean, it's really hard to argue these scenes that we talk about. Like they're so funny. There's so many to speak about. I did like the scene. I think it's in the beginning, the steps with the different baby carriages.
Yes, it's from Naked Gun 33 and a third. It's the opening scene. It's the best. It's the best scene out of the entire series.
I know that one, and I'm not gonna go too far into it because, you know, like you mentioned, it's kind of hard sometimes to talk about a scene with somebody in it that we don't really want to get into as far as talking about that person to this day. But
that was a funny scene though. Joseph O.J. Simpson was gonna spike a baby after saving it.
He ended up doing much worse things in that.
But I mean, the different people that are running into there's so many people running down like the stairs. I think the gardener, and there's like a terrorist, and it's like, just, I mean, it's a whole thing. But So as far as that series, I think that one's a really funny scene. It's hard to pick, but it's a great scene, a great pick. I laugh. When Reggie, I must kill the queen. I mean, he's a horrible actor, but he did his best. He's just walking slowly. I must kill the queen. What the hell? But it's funny, man. It was a good pick. Hard to argue about it too much, but I liked more scenes. Like I said, that other scene from the other movie. So, Bob, what do you think?
I have to agree. The other scene, of course, is hilarious. And I know you mentioned, so they're carrying the baby carriages upstairs, and then they start like a shootout with these mobsters and then the middlemen. Yeah. But the funniest part of it, like, they let go of the baby carriages, so the moms start chasing the baby carriages down the steps. And then you see a fucking gardener who drops his lawnmower and it's going down the steps, and he's chasing after like one of the mothers. Hilarious, dude. They thought of everything. First, Leslie Nielsen. I mean, Leslie Nielsen, a comedic genius. And like I said, he didn't really find it until he was 40. He was a little late to the party. But I mean, the stuff he did in Airplane and Naked Gun, like you said, your memory of watching it. I used to watch it. My grandpa Moy actually used to sit there and watch it with me. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily kid friendly, but I loved that he would let me sit with him and he would laugh and laugh and we'd laugh at those movies. It was a movie. It's one of those movies, man, that just, you could still quote it. You still, like I said, it's Enrique Peloso. I mean, Enrico Palazzo. It's extremely difficult to argue against somebody like Leslie Nielsen, like a trilogy in the Naked Gun series. That each movie was just as funny as the other. I guess you could say it's more of that absurd comedy, you know, has those funny lines, but it had some like the outlandish shit like you couldn't say. I would even go so far to say these are the type of movies that inspired the Anchormans, you know what I mean? That's kind of stupid funny, that had some kind of outlandish stuff, excuse me. But I loved every single movie and every single scene. I do agree that I think some scenes were funnier. I think the him butchering the national anthem just stole the show in that scene. I mean, the umpire scene where he's doing strike and he's doing the moonwalk is funny, but the Enrico Palazzo, the singing the national anthem, butchering it was it stole the show for me. The student driver chase scene was fucking funny. That one's hilarious.
That was that guy's last movie, by the way, the driving instructor. Yeah. And it was the way he just remained so calm. You know, what other scene that I just brought to mind is when they're doing a press conference and he gets up to take a piss and his microphone is on. So you could hear him, you know, using the restroom the whole time. And he's like singing and farting and, and he's taking like a 2-minute piss.
Well, you didn't like that movie had a lot of great scenes. And I know we don't like to talk about OJ Simpson, cause you know, maybe fuck him about afterwards. But I mean, in that movie, he really was. And I love Leslie Nielsen and he's my favorite, but OJ Simpson stole the show in a lot of those scenes, man. He really did. One of my favorite scenes, and I think it might be even funnier, that one's where he goes to the boat or at the docks, and he runs into a room with a bunch of gangsters pointing their gun at him, and he's like, "Freeze! Everybody drop their weapons!" And one dumbass does, and all the mobsters look at him like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And of course, they shoot O.J. Simpson, and he touches a hot stove, and then he falls into wet paint, and he puts his face into a cake, and then he flips off the boat. Like, it had all these great little funny, stupid. It had a little bit of everything, that movie. And your scene undoubtedly is extremely funny. I think there was a lot of great scenes, a lot of scenes that were equally as funny.
I agree.
And if we're talking about it as a series, I mean, because which we are, we're talking about the best movie scene in that series. The Naked Gun 33 1/3, that opening scene on the train steps with the shootout, and then the pissed off postman and the baby carriages. That was probably the funniest scene of that entire movie series.
If I can say, I don't know. I don't, Leslie Nielsen butchered anything. I mean, I think he's great. I don't know why people gave him. I mean, Besame Mucho was fantastic.
Or when he's trying to wipe the stain off the dictator's head, he's like, I knew it.
Gorbachev.
I love that shit. Besame Mucho.
Joseph, let's go ahead and go to your scene. What did you choose and why?
So I went with the opening scene of Super Troopers. If you haven't seen Super Troopers by now, I mean, where have you been? Super Troopers is not in the, you know what? It was released in 2001. You know what? Kind of just before, not just before. We've mentioned a lot of the material in the Super Troopers movie was kind of a lot of screwball stuff, not too much vulgarity. So I think this is actually a great movie that can be talked about to this day with great scenes. It's a hilarious movie. Many years later, the sequel came out, which, I mean, depending on who you know, depending on your taste, it was good, but clearly came out a little bit too late. But anyway, So Super Troopers, released in 2001, directed by Jay Chandrasekhar and written by the written star in the Broken Lizard comedy group. If you're not familiar with them, they do Super Troopers, Club Dread, Beer Fest, all great movies. These are hilarious movies. But anyway, I chose the opening scene of Super Troopers because I remember watching this movie. And I think my dad had it on tape. He had it on VHS. And my dad was in law enforcement back at the time. And I guess, I don't know, maybe who recommended it to him. He wasn't a trooper, a state trooper or anything like that. But somebody, I guess, recommended to him. Maybe he saw a trailer for it on TV back in the days. And somehow he had this movie. And one day he was like, you need to see this movie. It's really funny. So I was like, and that's not something that I would hear from my dad very often. So he said it was funny. I mean, like, and he's I don't know if you all remember my dad. He's kind of he's a serious guy, but I mean, he has his moments, but most of the time, if anybody met him, they just think he's a real serious guy. But anyway, so he says to watch this movie. I start watching it, and this opening scene. So it starts off with these three college kids. They don't have names, so I can't really, I'm just going to refer to them as driver, passenger, and backseat passenger. I can't really, they don't have names. They were never given names. I even looked it up as best as I could. It starts with the three boys driving down a Vermont highway, and they're smoking weed. The one, the passenger in the back, you know, he starts dropping this knowledge. I mean, again, they're all getting high. So they're getting high back and forth, just talking about, you know, beachfront property and all this stuff. But all of a sudden they notice that this state trooper is rolling up on the side of them. And they, you know, they freak out. Troopers following them and eyeing them just like, you know, driving about the same pace as them. Passenger has a... They need to get rid of the weed that they're holding, that they're smoking. So they just try to put it out real quickly. It ends up burning the guy in the back. The second passenger happens to be carrying some more drugs on him. So in an attempt to get rid of it, he gives it to the guy behind him. And he's like, hey, man, can you get rid of this, please? And he's like, fuck it. And he starts eating the entire bag of weed in the back. And he's like, oh, passenger, the guy in the passenger seat, he says, oh, man, hey, while you're at it, he gives him another bag. It's a bag of shrooms. And the guy's like, hey, man, it's a bag of shrooms. And he's like, please, man, we got to get rid of it. He's like, fuck it. So this guy just ingests a bag full of weed and a bag full of shrooms just to get rid of the drugs as quickly as they can because they're being followed by the troopers. And he pulls out a third bag, but the guy's like, fuck that, man. I just had two bags of weed. I just had a bag of weed and a bag of shrooms, so I'm not going to do that. So once they're pulled over, this is where the fun begins. It's two troopers. In the story, it's Ramathorn and Rabbit the Rookie, if you're not familiar with this. It's the kid in the back starts freaking out because he's extremely high on drugs and whatnot. They drop the paperwork when he's asking him for the license and registration. And all of a sudden, when they get back up, the two cops have gotten back in their cars and taken off. What's funny about this is they think that they're free and they're like trying to celebrate. And the guy in the passenger seat goes back to his buddy and he's like, hey, man, you just ate like over $100 worth of weed and like $30 worth of shrooms. He's like, yeah, man, it's all gone, buddy. I ate it all. And he's like, that's great, man. So I'm going to need that $130 whenever you get a chance. He's like, what the fuck, man? It's like, and the buddy's like, hey, man, that's not real cool.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is I'm not as familiar with the Broken Lizard movies. For some reason, every time I think of the Broken Lizard movies, I think of you guys because you guys quote them all the time. And I've watched Super Troopers. I've only seen it once, and I've seen the other Broken Lizard movies just one. Not out of because I don't want to. I just haven't found the time. I think it's a great scene. I rewatched this opening scene, and I've forgotten how funny it was because it's been a while. This movie came out in 2001. It's funny because it is the most recent movie we've been talking about and I haven't had the opportunity to rewatch it. So rewatching that first scene, I was like, okay, hiding drugs is always a funny trope, and anytime you know somebody's hiding drugs, they're trying to do something funny with it. It goes all the way back to the Cheech and Chong movies. I don't know, I think it was Nice Dreams where they're trying to hide drugs and they're under a blue tarp. So Cheech is like pretending to swim.
Yeah,
like if he's like
in it, looks like pool.
It looks like a pool because the helicopter cops are right there. So I'm always a big fan of like hiding drugs as a funny trope, and I think they did a great job of coming up with something creative. I think the Rush panic mixed in with the music really helped the scene, because when you want an opening scene that's going to dictate how funny the rest of the movie is going to be. And I think the only problem I have, I thought this was the funniest scene in the movie. The rest of the movie is funny. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff with Varva and all the jokes and they hold up pretty well. But I always thought that this scene was the funniest scene And everything else didn't get as much of it. But I mean, I'm giving you kudos for the scene because I thought it was hilarious. But everything else in the movie, I don't think equates to that first scene. I think the first scene is funny. I think everybody does a great job. I don't know who the actor is in the back seat. He looks familiar. I don't know if you guys might have remembered him from other movies.
His name is Jeffrey Arend, I think. Okay. He's probably going to be the most recognized guy. He's got a pretty good TV and film bio. He was the Flipper Boy in Bubble Boy.
He looks familiar.
He came out in The Ringer. He's more of the most memorable
one. Yeah, he was also married to the redhead from
Mad Christina Man. Hendricks.
Oh, that's him? Oh, yeah. That's him. Okay.
That's why a lot of people recognize him, actually. I don't want to say it's because of his wife or his ex-wife, but you know.
That guy wins this argument.
Yeah.
It was a great opening scene. I thought it was funny, and I'm glad you answered that question because I didn't look it up, and I wanted to have the conversation so it could sound more spontaneous, and I didn't come in with that research, but I'm glad you told me who he was because I was dying. Like, who is this guy? I've seen him before, and I thought he was the best guy in the scene. He was perfect. He was funny. Bob, what are your thoughts on this scene?
I think you missed out on the biggest quote line. It's like, where are you going? Canada. What are you going to Canada for? For French fries and gravy, sir. For French fries and gravy, sir. I thought that line was fucking hilarious. What an excuse why you'd be going. I remember watching this movie in high school off of probably your recommendation and laughing and laughing and laughing. It actually does have a lot of really funny scenes, but that opening scene, I mean, cracks me up. It really does set the tone for that entire movie. I guess you could say, like, just like There's Something About Mary, the zipper scene sets that tone of what kind of movie it's going to be. It always makes me laugh. I'm freaking out, man. The kid in the back that's super stoned, you know, it makes you think of your buddies. If you hung around with that crowd there's a lot of, there really is. I think it's probably the most underrated movie scene out of the three choices that we made today. Not because of, I think it's more like a cult type of classic, a newer age movie comedy into that new generation of the like I said, the Judd Apatows and stuff like that. It was funny. I think the bear fucker scene was hilarious, dude. The guy wearing the bear costume. And he's like it looks like he's fucking a bear in the woods, and everybody's like, the cops don't, well, is the guy or is the bear? What the hell's going on?
Who needs help?
Yeah. And they start screaming, bear fucker, do you need assistance?
Do you?
I thought that scene was hilarious. The movie itself is a funny movie. That scene is a great, great scene. I don't know if I could call it the greatest or the funniest movie scene of all time. Granted, there's just so many great ones, and it's all pretty much comes down to preference at this point. But I just don't think it will stand up as long. Maybe it will. But like how well Naked Gun and Young Frankenstein and all the Mel Brooks and There's Something About Mary in those scenes. I don't know if it stands up to them. I don't know if it's one of those scenes that you initially think of when it's like, oh, that's the funniest scene ever. It is incredibly funny. And that Broken Lizard group do that. I mean, it may be the funniest scene of any one of their movies. They do a great job of comedy. It's my style of comedy. I mean, I love all comedy, obviously, but I think it's hilarious. It's a really great choice. These were going to be extremely hard to argue anyways. Like we had said at the beginning, if you're going to have that scene and maybe try to compare it to, like, you know, something from Young Frankenstein or Spaceballs, I don't know if it'll hold up as well, but it is an extremely funny scene, and I think it's a good choice for me.
I think, and I know this movie it's not a drug movie, but the scene is a drug scene, and I think any movie that has any drug movie,
Up in Smoke,
they all hold up. I mean, Half Baked, people still love it, people still watch it. Any of the Cheech and Chong movies, any of the I think. I almost said Seth Rogen movies. I think those are going to hold up too, just because stoner movies. And that's the phrase I was looking for. I think stoner movies don't go out of style. Now, I know this is a typical stoner movie, but I think this is a movie you watch when you're stoned just because of the off the wall comedy. But I also think, you know, you can make a case for Something About Mary and some of these other movies. I think those comedies never go out of style because smoking's not going to go out of style, and wanting to watch something after you're high or whatever is not going to go out of style. But let's bring it around to full circle to end this. State of comedy. I mean, I know we talked a little bit about it, but are you guys worried about it? Because everything we talked about 2000 and earlier, a little concerned about the state of comedy. I think with this culture, I think people are afraid to greenlight things. I think people are afraid to express themselves, and people are still talking the way they talked back then. Do you want to bring it to the limelight? And do you want to face that, I should say, that criticism? What do you guys think?
I honestly think that we need it right now. With all the bullshit and the pandemic and, you know, the tension and racial injustice and all the bullshit that we've been dealing with for the past year and a half. Specifically, I think comedy needs to come out. I think we need more comedy movies. We need more stand-up. We need more comic relief in our lives to kind of ease the tension and everybody to be like, take a fucking second to step back and kind of enjoy themselves and laugh at themselves or at a TV show or at a movie and kind of like unwind. I think we're so like I said, we're so obsessed with the you know, being politically correct every single moment of every single day, when I think we need comedy, and I think we should like I said earlier, it should be taken at face value. It's a comedy movie. Sit down, fucking have a drink, get some popcorn, shut the fuck up, just have a good time, laugh a little bit. I think we could all use some of that.
Joseph, your thoughts?
I mean, I don't know what's next. I it's like we've mentioned, I can't think of a recent movie that I thought was really funny. It's hard to do comedy nowadays. You see it a lot. It's not just with the pandemic and you know, comedians not being able to do shows and do mm-hmm. you know, go on the road. I think a lot of them have had to stop, and I guess if and decide whether I'm going to be this comedian that does this routine, or, and I know we're talking about movies here, so a lot of the, you know, goes hand in hand, whether, you know, a funny actor, a comedian that does a movie, they're gonna have to make that decision. And it's the time we live in right now. And I think, like what Bob said, we do need to laugh. And I hope that going forward, I think the reason why we don't see Eddie Murphy doing a lot of movies anymore, one, because he's retired. I mean, he's obviously living a comfortable family life. But did he really do the Coming to America movie that he wanted to do? I really can't say that. You know, I don't think maybe it was the one that he wanted to do. And so it's really going to come down to how you want to, you know, approach, you know, or how you want to look at your career. One of the guys that somebody that I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention real quick, was Kevin Smith. I loved Clerks. Clerks was a hell of a movie. There's a lot of funny scenes that we probably
in a row
the 37 or just pretty much that whole movie. Is it, anybody see a ball down there? Yeah, about the biggest pair you ever seen, Dingleberry. I remember seeing the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
I was not happy with that.
You can kind of tell it affected how he did movies. It was, he made his jokes, but he was very, you could tell, like he was very cautious about, and he was inclusive, and that's cool. You know, hey, be inclusive of everybody. You can tell he kind of tailored that to the time that we're living in now. So
that's a good point.
On a brighter note, because I know we got a little serious tone here. Joseph, are those Taco Bell hot sauces on your bed?
I don't know. Are they?
See, bastard.
I didn't eat that today.
My night planned ahead over there. Just to wrap it up, guys. What are those? We're on Zoom, by the way. We're all in separate places. If Pete Davidson is going to be the flag bearer for what comedy is. Now, Grant, I haven't seen The King of Staten Island. I saw his comedy before that, which...
You and everybody else.
I forgot the title, but I don't know. I think we're missing. I think Judd Apatow is getting a little older. Seth Rogen and those guys are getting, you know, they're getting older. And I think we're missing that young blood, that next hot comedy writer that's going to come in. And I think that person has to push buttons. And I think that person has to be inclusive, but also has to be critical. And also has to say, this is the way real life is. And we can't shadow or we can't shield anybody from what's going on or how people talk, because of people might get offended or people might see this the wrong way. I think you could educate and entertain at the same time. And I think whoever's going to be the next person, step up, because you got the whole venue in front of you. It's not going to be a YouTuber. It's not going to be a second rate SNL cast member. I think it's somebody out there who's got to write the next great comedy, and it's got to be a good hit and maybe have a series after that. So we'll wait and see. But that is our show for today, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Want to let you all know, if you'd like to drop us a line at formidableopponents@gmail.com. Let us know what your favorite movie scene is. You could also reach us on Twitter at FOpponents. And also follow us on Instagram at formidable_opponent. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. We get audience members every week, new audience members every week from around the globe. We're excited about that, and we're thankful that you listen. Next week, we'll be covering most shocking sports moments. So tune in as we cover that. For Joseph and Bob, I'm Randall. We'll see you guys later. Take care, everybody.